Okay, thank you very much for coming, and I want to express my gratitude to Almog for so capably filling in and teaching. Thank you, Almog.
Thank you, Almog.
And may our learning be a merit. Lili Nishmas, Meira Chai, Nechama Bracha, Lea Shalom, Bastav, and Mordechai Sheyichya. Katie Fischel of blessed memory, and for Refua Shalema, for our dear friend Tzvi Aryeh ben Miriam Tauba. All right, we are up to the Mishnah Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Again, dealing with all sorts of areas where there is a minimum and a maximum. It can't be less than, but it also can't be more than. So we spoke about months, full months and empty months in a year. We spoke about if a woman forgot what day she's in and how many days have to be clean for her to get back to day one in terms of nidus and zava. We spoke about erechin, the different values that have to be paid. And now the Mishnah takes us into the Beit HaMikdash and into the singing in the Beit HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah in Pochasin, May Esrim Yachas Tkios Bamishpat, Bamikdash. At the very least, they would have 21 soundings of the chatzotrot, of the trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash. So they would have three, they would blow three sounds to open the gates, and then nine sounds within the Tamid Shel Shachar, and another nine sounds within the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So 9 plus 9 plus 3 is a total of 21. However, sometimes they'd have more sounds. V'lo mosif and al arba'im mishmona. They'd have more than 48. So when you have a karban musaf, you have another 9. So that takes you up to 30. On Erev Shabbos, you have another 6 to warn people to stop doing malacha. That takes you up to 36. And on Sukkos, you'd have another 12 because of the Nisach HaMayim. So that gets you to a total of 48 on Erev Shabbos during Sukkot. Okay, now some more about the music in the Beis HaMikdash. When the Leviim would be singing to accompany the Karban, they used to have a whole orchestra accompanying the song of the Leviim. Ein pochsin mishnei nevalim. The orchestra can't have less than two Nevalim, musical instruments, the Nevel. I think it's the lyre. How did they translate the Nevalim?
Lyres. Yeah.
Yeah, the lyres. It's, it's a type of string instrument, right? It's like a little guitar. V'lomo sifin al shisha. Now you can't have more than six lyres. Ein pochsin mishnei chalilin. You can't have less than two flutes. V'lo mosif and al shneim asar. You can't have more than 12 flutes when you are accompanying the song of the Leviim.
So they did this for every holiday or just
Shabbat? We're going to see in a second which days would get the flute to accompany it.
Okay. It seems there's a dispute between the little guitar and the bagpipe.
What the lyre is?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Uvishneim asar yom bashana. 12 days during the year. Hechalil Makkah Lifnei HaMizbeach. There were 12 days a year when we would use the flute to make the nice music before the Mizbeach. What were these 12 days? B'Shchitas Pesach Rishon, on Erev Pesach, during the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach. As we learned back in Masechet Pesachim, they used to have three shifts for the slaughtering of Karban Pesach, and during that offering, they would be singing Hallel. So it's such a special occasion. Hallel together with Karban Pesach, that was a Hallel that was accompanied with musical instruments. The second time when they would have the flute going is B'Shchitas Pesach Sheni, was on Pesach Sheni, when they'd be offering Karban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. And finally, There were also holidays where the sanctity of the day was so special that the sanctity of the day created an obligation of saying a full Hallel. So when the sanctity of the day creates an obligation of saying the full Hallel, there is an obligation to have music together with that Hallel. So these are the following 10 days. Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach. Pesach, the first day of Yom Tov. After that, the next 6 days of Pesach. Remember, we're talking when we have a Beit HaMikdash. We don't have 2 days of Pesach. Yom Tov, the next 6 days, don't get a full Hallel. The Yom Tov Shel Atzeres, the one day of Yom Tov of Shavuos, also gets a full Hallel. U'bishmaras Yemeachag. And in the 8 days of Sukkot, that's a total of another 10 days. So a total of 12 days, and we need musical instrument of the Chalil to be accompanying the song of the Levim, because the Levim are singing the full Hallel, so then they need the Chalil to accompany them. U'bishneimasar Yom Bashana. And we just said that. Okay, now. V'lo ayamake ba'aviv shel nechoshes, ela ba'aviv shel kanin. Now, they wouldn't use a flute of copper. Rather, they would use a flute of reeds, because it has a nicer smell. Mipnei shekolo arev, because the reed flute has a sweet smell. V'lo yamachalek, ela ba'aviv yechidi. In addition, when they would play these two flutes, they would actually have one go longer than the other. Because that makes it a nicer ending. If you have one flute, you know, ending off without two flutes ending off. Okay.
Why don't we play music in the shul?
Oh, very good question. Why don't we play music in shuls when we daven? That's a very good question. As far as I recall, and Almog, please correct me if I'm missing, the reason why the poskim were so opposed to playing music in the shul is because of the pasuk that says "B'chukotehem lo telechu," don't follow in the ways of the Gentiles, which the Ramban says means don't practice your religion the way the Gentiles practice their religion. So there are all sorts of things that we used to do that we've stopped doing because they started doing them. So for example, we have in the Torah that when Yaakov Avinu had his dream, he made a matzeva. He made a monument. But then the Torah says, "V'lo sakim lecha matzeva asher sanei Hashem elokecha mizbach avanim ta'aseh lach." When you make an altar, you have to have lots of stones, not a single stone altar. Why? Because once the non-Jews started to use single stone altars, Hashem says, okay, now you stop using single stone altars. That's also why I saw in the Tzitz Eliezer why single women don't cover their hair. Right? If the issue of a woman covering her hair is tzniut, is modesty, so why only married women? Why not single women too? So the Tzitz Eliezer says, because the Christians, when they go into church, the women cover their hair and the men uncover their head. That's what they do. The men take off their hat and the women put on a hat. So therefore, we want to show that we don't do like they do. So when our women come into shul, the single women, bedafka, don't have their hair covered, whereas the men, bedafka, do have their hair covered. Then for a married woman, because of the pasuk that says that in regards to the Isha Sota, her hair will be undone, that implies that a married woman always has to have her hair covered even outside of shul. So we don't do the things that the non-Jews do. So they've taken on to have music as part of their musical instruments as part of their service. So that's why we don't have musical instruments as part of our service, even though in the Beit HaMikdash, we did have music as part of the tefillah. Yeah.
It could be like the shofar, that if there's shofar, we're not allowed to do in Shabbat.
That's because of musical instruments. Right. Well, also because it might lead to using musical instruments, not on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is because we might carry Rosh Hashanah. Right.
Rabbi, every time that, you know, we're doing something that we've been doing it for generations and generations, Now we have to stop doing it because somebody's copying us?
It's a very interesting question. But especially in regards to music, you know, we are in general, if you remember back to Masechet Gittin, we have a little bit of reticence about music because we lost Beit HaMikdash, so we should be sad. So in general, should we have any music at all? So we said, well, ultimately they allowed some music to... for Yirat Shamayim, to enable added fear of heaven, even without Beit HaMikdash. But if the non-Jews... but if they're not...
He starts dancing to Rabbi.
Religious music, inspiring music.
The music would be great.
Right. The Avde Kohanim. Now, who would be the ones playing these musical instruments? The slaves of the Kohanim, Divrei Meir. However, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishpachas Beis Pigarim, it was this family called Beit Pigarim and Mishpachat Beit Sifaria, and they were Me'ama Hayu, that's near Beit Shemesh, Umasiyan Lekuhuna, and they were so, you know, had such good lineage that they could marry from them to Kohanim. However, Pachinman Signos Omer, Levium Hayu, they were Levim who were playing the musical instruments, not Avadim, not slaves. Okay, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the maximum amount of tkios, the maximum amount of blasts that would be sounded in Beit HaMikdash was 48. And the minimum was 21. Says the Gemara, Masis and Lok Rabbi Yehuda, this Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The time we looked in Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says Lo Yifchos Misheva. The minimum is 7. V'amosav Lo Yosef Al Shisha Sheish Esrei, and the maximum is 16. The Jews is not really a difference. The question is, what do you call Tkia Trua Tkia? Two. Is Tkia Trua Tkia called 1, or is Tkia Trua Tkia called 3? So. What's the machlokas? But my commitment goes to the argument of Yehuda Sarah Tkia Trua Tkia Chadihi. A full set, a triad of Tkia, then a true, and then a Tkia is considered one. Rabbanan Sarah, the Rabbanan hold Tkia Luchud, Utrua Luchud, Utkia Luchud. When you have Tkia Trua Tkia, you have three. One Tkia, one Trua, and one Tkia. My time to Rabbi Yehuda, what's using of Rabbi Yehuda who holds a Tkia Trua Tkia is considered one? See, because the pasuk says, Utkatem Trua. Back in last week's parasha, Parashas Baaloscha, you shall blow a trua. Uksiv, and then it says trua yiska'u. Right? So it has the word katem right next to the word trua, and has the word trua, and then right next to it the word yitka'u. Shemam Nelson, that teaches us tkia, utrua, utkia, chadihi, tkia, trua, tkia is all one. Rabbi, I will tell you, no, that's not what it's telling you. It's telling you something else. Ahu, that's to tell you that when you have a trua, you're supposed to have a pshuto lefanah. You're supposed to have a straight blast of tkiah before it. Upshuto lachareu das. You're supposed to have a straight blast afterwards. Okay. Rabbanan ma'itza ma'itz. Rabbanan, what's their reasoning why it's considered three and it's not considered one? Because the pasuk says, again, in Parshas Baaloscha, v'akila sakahol, if you want to gather the people, tisku, just blow tkiah. The low tariu, don't sound a trua. Isagadat echvigna think. That tkia trua tkia chadahi, it's all one element. Samrachman avid paga the mitzvah. Hashem going to say when you have a mitzvah, do only half of it, just blow tkia without the other aspects. And Rida will tell you that's not a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to blow the tkia to gather people. That's just advice. That was Simana Baalmu, a way for everybody to know that they should all come gather. Hashem says it's to make a tkia sound, but it's not a mitzvah, but you're right, if there'd ever be a mitzvah like as part of the karbanos or against the enemy against us, we have to blow the chatzotzros, so then we would blow tkia trua tkia because it's all considered one element. Now the Gemara says, come on, Azla, like who does the following follow? Hadam Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana taught, ein ben tkia l'trua v'lo klum, that when blowing the tkia trua, tkia in Beit HaMikdash, on the chatzotzot, on the trumpets, they shouldn't pause at all. Is the tkia, then right away trua. So tkia, trua, without any break at all. Come on, who's that like? Rabbi Yehuda. That's like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that it's all one mitzvah. So if it's three parts of one mitzvah, and it can be called, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a single sound even, you can say it's the minimum is 7 sounds, the maximum is 16 sounds, because all three blasts are considered one sound. So that's why he'll say, don't have any pause within it at all. Just go right into it. So the Gemara now says, Pshita, that's obviously the Tribi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no, a few of the Tam might have thought, a few of the Rabbanan, even the Rabbanan would say, Ulafukim in Rabbi Yochanan, and maybe their point is just to go against Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar, who said, Shama Tesha Tkiyas Petesha Shos, but Yom Yatza. You could hear on Rosh Hashanah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the nine sounds that you're supposed to hear, the three Tkiyas, 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 you can hear them over 9 hours. 1 hour a tkiyah, then a break for an hour, then a trua, then another break for an hour, then a tkiyah. Kamash malan. So they say, that's not true. You have to have them right next to each other. But really, it's like the Rabbanan. So Gemara says, v'eim ha'chanam. Maybe that's what it's in fact saying. It's just saying it can't be, you know, with big breaks between them. Imkain, if that would be the case, why does he say v'lo klum? There shouldn't be any break at all between the tkiyah and the trua. If you're saying no break at all, Rav Kahana, between the Tzkiyah and the Chua, that means you want to bond the Tzkiyah to the Chua. That means you feel that it's all one mitzvah, all one sound, and therefore they have to be bonded with each other. Then the Mishnah addressed Baruch's point. When do they use the flute? When do they use the musical instruments? So the Mishnah said, Shneimas Hayom Bashana. There were 12 days during the year when we are makib b'chalil, we make the sound with the flute. That is the 12 days, and we have to say complete halil, the 2 days of Karban Pesach, and the first day of Pesach, the first day of Shavuos, and the 8 days of Sukkot together with Shmini Atzeres. So Gemara says, Ma'ishna Hani, why are these 12 days different? Why it's so special that these 12 days that we use musical instruments? The answer is, Ho v'yachid gomer b'nasa halil, because these are days that even an individual who's not davening with a minion would say a complete hallel. Now, Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Shimon Yotzadok, there's actually Shmona Aser Yom, there are actually 18 days that Shayachid Gomer Ben Asa Hallel, that an individual who's not davening with a minion should still say the complete hallel, all the verses. He doesn't leave anything out. What are those? Shmoni Me'achag, the 8 days of Sukkot. Ushmoni Me'chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah. We didn't mention the 8 days of Chanukah, because in Beit HaMikdash, there was no Karban Musaf. So these musical instruments and shofar blasts are all to accompany what's happening in Beit HaMikdash. So there's no Hallel that's unique to any Karban in Beit HaMikdash. But in general, an individual also should complete the full hallel on the 8 days of Chanukah and Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach, the first day of Pesach, and Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Atzeres, and the one day of Yom Tov of Shavuos.
There's 12 more days of hallel, Rabbi, they did not mention here.
Which ones?
Just 24th day of every month, you read the entire hallel.
Okay, good, good. Late. So the on Rosh Chodesh, you don't read the whole hallel. We leave verses out.
Tehillim, I'm talking about. When you do Tehillim every day, 24th day of every month is the entire,
right, but that's not hallel. That's not an obligation.
Right.
So we're talking about an obligatory obligation.
What's the difference between Sukkot and Pesach?
Very good question. The Gemara is going to address that on the Amid Beis. What's the difference between Sukkot and Pesach? Why on Sukkot do we say Hallel? Right, on Chol HaMoed as well, the full Hallel. Whereas on Pesach, only on the first day we say the full Hallel, afterwards not. So the Gemara is going to answer, as Medina pointed out, that there are different Karbanos. And on Pesach, each day is the same Karban Musaf. That means really there's one Kedusha. So that Kedusha has already been addressed with the Hallel on the first day. Whereas on Sukkot, each day is a different amount of Karbanos. So each day is a different Kedusha. So each day deserves its own full Hallel.
So it has nothing to do with bread and matzah, right?
No.
According to the Mishnah, it's going to be every day. It's not mentioning it anymore. Maybe I misunderstood. It's every day we have
Kiyot. We have every day, but the Chalil, the flute only on these 12 days. Uva Golan, outside of the land of Israel, let's say in Bavel, Esrim V'Echad, you have to have 21 days. You actually have 21 days where you complete the full Halal. Tisha Yemei Achag, 9 days of Sukkot. Ushmoni Yemei Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, that gives you 17. Ushnei Yom Tov Shel Pesach, the 2 days of Yom Tov of Pesach, now you're up to 19. Ushnei Yom Tov Shel Atzeres, and the 2 days of Yom Tov of Shavuos, it gives you 21. So now the Gemara asks Roger's question. Maishna B'chag, what's different about Sukkis, Darmin, and Kol Yoma? Every day we say a complete Hallel. Umayishna b'Pesach, and what's different about Pesach? V'lo aminan kol yoma. Now turning to Yud Amid Beis, we don't say the full Hallel every day of Pesach. On Pesach we only say it on the first day, and afterwards we don't. So answers the Gemara. Dechag chalukin bekarbonosehem. Each day of Sukkis has different karbanos. So on the first day of Sukkis, there are 13 bulls that are part of the karban musaf. And on the second day, 12. And on the third day, 11. And on the fourth day, 10. So each day is a different amount of parim. So that makes each day a different amount of karbanos. So therefore, each day deserves a full halal on its own right. Whereas the Pesach, but each of the intermediate days of Pesach in chalukim bekarbanos same, they don't have any difference in their karbanos. Therefore, they don't need a full halal. Ask Gemara, 1 second. Well, if you have different amounts of karbanos, you get a full halal. Shabbos the chalukim bekarbanos same. Let's say, what about Shabbos of Pesach, right? The Shabbos of Pesach, you have different karbanos because you also have the karbanos of Shabbos. So lema, so let's on Shabbos let's have a full halal. The answer is lo ikri moed. Shabbos in its own right is not called moed. It's not called a festival, a time of meeting with God, a celebratory time, and therefore the Shabbos aspect doesn't obligate a full halal. So 1 second, says the Gemara, Rosh Chodesh ikri moed. Rosh Chodesh is called a moed. So lema, why don't we say over there the full halal? The answer is lo ikdish basias malacha on Rosh Chodesh. You're allowed to do work. There is no sanctity prohibiting work. The siv is the pasuk says hashir yelachem. The song will be for you. This is actually referring to the song of the third of the ultimate redemption, where the Navi Yeshayo says the song will be for you. Kileles kadesh chag, like the night of the sanctity of the holiday, namely like the halal of the night of Pesach, so will be the Hallel of the future redemption. So you see that Hallel, the Shir, is linked with this Kadesh Chag, with the sanctity of a holiday. So therefore, Laila Makudesh L'Chag, when you have a night which is holy as part of a Chag, then Tohen Shira, then you need to have Hallel. However, Rosh Chodesh, Shein Makudesh L'Chag, it's not sacred, and there's no, you know, sanctity of a holiday to it. Therefore, Ein Ta'un Shira doesn't need Hallel. Now ask the Gemara, well, what about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim? The Ikru Moed, they're called holidays. They're in Parshas Amor and all the Parshas Amoados. V'Yikadosh Basiyas Melacha, and they're holy. You're not allowed to do work on those days. So lema, so why don't we say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Answers the Gemara, Mishum de Rebavo. The answer is because of the lesson of Rebavo. Amar Rebavo, Rebavo said, Amru Malachi Asharis Tufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angels who serve God said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Mipnei Ma'in Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. Why did the Jews not say Hallel before you on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Amalehem, Hashem responded, Efshem Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Adin. Is it possible that a king is sitting on the throne of judgment? V'Sifrei Chaim, V'Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim Lefanav, with the books of the living and the books of the dead before him. Who's going to live? Who's going to die? V'Yisraelim Shira Lefanai. And the Jewish people are going to say, song? These are not days of Shira. These are days of Eimav Afachad, of fear and dread. Will we be judged for life, or heaven forbid, Chas V'Shalom, the opposite? We can't say Hallel.
So, Rabbi, they didn't have Hallel before David HaMelech.
Okay.
Right?
That's an interesting question. What did they do before David HaMelech?
Yeah, correct. What did they do?
They say Moshe wrote something.
Maybe they had Hallel.
Always
you see, David HaMelech is not the... really only the author of Tehillim. He's really the editor of Tehillim. Because he says many times in Tehillim that there are things that come from other people, right? Lamnatzeach livnei Korach. Bnei Korach wrote this. But David took it. And he added, he edited. He was the the final.
So there was something there.
Maybe there was something earlier. Yeah, yes.
So from this passage, an Avel doesn't say hello.
You know, a lot of Hilchos Avelos are customs. It's not in the Gemara anywhere that an Avel shouldn't say hallel.
In the moon.
Yeah. So that would be the source. Correct. That's right. Ask the Gemara. Well, Chanukah d'lo haki. Chanukah is not called a moed. It's not in Parshas Amor. Lo hachi, and you're allowed to do malacha on Chanukah. So let it be like Rosh Chodesh. And yet Ka'amar, and yet we're saying Hallel. How can we say Hallel on Chanukah? Answer the Gemara, Mishum Nisa, because on Chanukah there was such a miracle, and since it was a miracle, that's why we have to say Hallel. What about Purim? The Ika Nisa, there was also a great miracle. Lema, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? That reminds us of the Gemara of Maseches Megillah. Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak answered, we don't say Hallel for miracles that happened outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nachum Yitzchak said, how can you say we don't sing because the miracle happened outside of Israel? Right? Yitzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, was outside the land of Israel. And we say hallel. The whole hallel is about the Nesim Etzias Mitzrayim. Gita Tanis learned in a Braisa, answers the Gemara. The answer is as we learned in a Braisa. Achlo nichnasu Yisrael aretz. Till the Jews entered the land. Shukol aretz is lo mar shira. Then the Jews could say hallel everywhere. Mishenichnasu laaretz. But once they entered the land, shukol aretz is lo mar shira. Now all the lands are not primed for Shira for Hallel, but only Eretz Yisrael. That's answer number one. So the answer number one of why we don't say Hallel on Purim is because Purim happened in Persia, and outside miracles of outside of Israel don't deserve Hallel. Rav Nachman gave a second answer. Kriyasa Zui Hilula. We do say Hallel on Purim. The reading of the Megillah is the Hallel that we say on Purim. And according to this, we have the famous view of the Meiri, who says if you don't have a Megillah, you should actually say Hallel, because the reading is the Hallel. So if you don't have a reading, he thinks you would say Hallel. Rav Amar Rav said, Bishlam al-Hasam, I understand over there in regards to Pesach, we could say Hallel, because Hallel Avdi Hashem, right? We say, let us praise the servants of Hashem. We became servants of Hashem. We were servants of Paro. Now we're not servants of Paro, servants of Hashem. So we say Hallel. But Achman, in regards to Purim, how could you say that we should be saying Hallel? Halu Avdi Hashem. The verse says, praise the servants of Hashem. Halu Avdi Achashverosh. Because now you're servants of Hashem and not servants of Achashverosh. But Akati Avdi Achashverosh Anan. We are servants of Achashverosh. In other words, the redemption of Purim was not a full redemption. When we left Egypt, we became politically independent. Now Paro was drowned, you know, his people were drowned in the sea. We were free. But when we left, when we were saved from Haman, we were still under the Persians. And the Persians are still in charge when they let us build the Beis HaMikdash. We're still their slaves. So how can we be saying Hallel? So the Gemara says. So this is what Rava said. Sorry, this is what Rava says to explain why we don't say Hallel for Purim. Ule Rav Nachman now, according to Rav Nachman. Right? So Rava, we have three answers why we wouldn't say Hallel on Purim. One is that Purim happened outside of Israel. Two, we do say Hallel through the reading of the Megillah. And three, how could we be saying Hallel? We're not fully free. We were still slaves of the Persians, so it's not appropriate to be saying Hallel. Now, ask the Gemara. Rav Nachman, the Amar. Now, according to Rav Nachman, who says, "Kriyasa zui lula," that the reading of the Megillah is the Hallel. Ayotani, but what about the Brisa? That once the Jews entered the land, we don't say songs for outside the land. So this is happening outside the land. Why should we be saying a song through the reading of the Megillah? So he'll tell you, came in Shigalu, once we went back into exile, Chazulat Teran Arishan, then the miracles of outside the land were all the same. We're outside of the land. So once we're outside of the land, so the miracle in Egypt gets a Hallel, so the miracle of Persia also gets Hallel. Okay, so again, to conclude, We said that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh because there's no prohibition of doing Malacha. We're allowed to do Malacha, and Hallel has to be with his Kaddish Chag. We don't say Hallel on Shabbos because Shabbos is not called a Moed. We don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because these are times of judgment, not times of joy, times of fear. And we don't say Hallel on Purim because either it's a miracle of outside of Israel, it wasn't a full miracle, we were still slaves of Achashverosh, or we do say Hallel through the reading of the Megillah. Okay, going back to the Mishnah says the only time that they would use, when they would use the flute, they wouldn't use a copper flute, they would use a reed flute because it has a nicer sound, and they would end off with one person playing, not two people playing. Now, they wouldn't use a flute of copper, but rather a flute of reed. So, one second, it seems to be talking about different instruments. It begins talking about something called a chalil, now it's talking about an avuv. Papa, I know chalil hanu abuv. It's the same instrument. Amai karle chalil. Why is it called chalil? The chalil kale. It has a very sweet sound. Very, very delicious sound.
Levi's, they were playing, right?
Yeah.
The Levite.
We saw there was an argument. Levim or the Avde Kohanim, the slaves of the Kohanim.
Yours. Come on.
Tricky place.
I wonder if when we get the third base of Mikdash, we'll have some computer controlled instruments. Maybe a Levi programmer will write a great algorithm that will have the music going.
We're gonna put Ricky by the door.
Maybe better with the lungs that the Levi puts his heart into it. Better than an algorithm. There was a flute in the Beis HaMikdash. Chalak haya. It was smooth. Dak haya. It was. Now, Miyamos Moshe haya. There was a flute that was from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So now we're going to go through a couple of things. Improvements aren't always improvements. Tziva Melech. Some king commanded. We don't know who. He said, let's cover the flute of Moshe Rabbeinu with gold. Then Then the voice was no longer sweet. So they took away the cover. Then it was sweet the way it was originally. All right, a similar thing was cymbals. There were these cymbals in the Beis HaMikdash. That was made of copper with a very nice smell. So Nivgam, so this symbols got damaged.
Is that the one was one piece, Rabbi?
It must have been some type of one piece. Apparently this damage was a cosmetic damage. The sound was the same. But it didn't look nice anymore. So Shalchu Chacham, the sage sent, they brought craftsmen from Alexandria of Egypt, Vitziknu, and they fixed the symbols. But now its sound wasn't so sweet anymore. They took away the fixing. Then the sound was as sweet as it was originally. There was a pestle, a mortar and pestle in the Beit HaMikdash to grind the spices of Ketorah. It was made of copper. It was from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they used to use it to crush all the besamim. This pagma, it was once damaged. So again, they brought craftsmen from Alexandria of Egypt, and they fixed it. It wasn't making such a nice besamim the way it was originally. And that was tikuna, they took away the fixing. And it made the nice besam the way it did originally. Elushne kelim mishtairu mimikdash rishon. These two utensils, this cymbals and this ketores grinder, were still there from the first Beis HaMikdash, from namely the Mishkan. Vinis pagmu, they were damaged. Lohayolam arucha, there was no way to fix them. Aleim Amar David, so about them, David HaMelech said, Nechoshes Mimorat, copper that was very thin. And about them the verse says, Nechoshes Maruk. These were made from shining copper. And in the days of Ezra, they also had these utensils. They were brought back from Persia to be used in the second base of Mikdash. About them, the verse says, V'chol Nechoshes Mutzav. And all the, you know, good copper, Shnayim Chamudos Kazav, where it was shining copper like gold, and they were as precious as gold. So now, what is the meaning of this verse? Shnayim Chamudos, Rav and Shmuel argue, Chadamar Kol Echad V'Echad, Shakel K'Shnayim Shel Zav. Each of these utensils was as good and as prominent and as expensive as two golden utensils. So this copper cymbals and the copper mortar and pestle were as good as gold mortar and pestle. Chadam once said, Shnehem Shkulim Ke'echad Shozal. The two of them together were equal to one of them of gold. And that's also a great praise. Tani Rav Yosef, it was taught in a braisa of Rav Yosef. Shnehem Shkulim Ke'echad Shozal. These two utensils of copper were equal to one of them made of gold. Tani Rav Nasan, Rav Nasan says, Shneim Hayu. They were doubles. Moshe Rabbeinu made doubles. Two cymbals, two mortars and pestles. Shneim Shneim. It's Altikri Shneim El Shneim that they had backup pairs. Tani Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel taught, Shiloach Chayim Mekaleach Mayim BeKiisar. The Shiloach spring would have water coming out of it, and where the water comes out, it's only the size of an Isar coin, a little coin. That's the opening for the water. Ziva Melech, the king commanded, he said, make it wider so that a lot of water should come out. And what happened? Vinismatu, less water came out. So sometimes when you fix things, you make it worse. So Chazu Miatu, so they went back and they reduced it. Now is again gushing water like the way it was originally. This fulfills what we say in the pasuk, Al Yisalel Chacham B'Chachmaso. The wise person shouldn't praise himself with his wisdom. Al Yisalel Gibor B'Gvuraso. The mighty person shouldn't praise himself with his strength. What should you praise yourself with? Knowing Hashem. So a wise person thinks he makes it better, or a strong person thinks he makes it better, he might have actually made it worse. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also used to say, Hardavlim Haya Bamikdash. So my Hardavlim, what was this Hardavlim in the base of Mikdash? Amar Baya Tavla Gurgada. There was this bell in the base of Mikdash, Mipnei Shekolo Orev, because it had a nice voice, and it would mix up together the pleasant sound. It would be the one that would continue after all the other instruments would stop. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow with some more musical instruments of the bass.
All in the basement of Vatican right now. All of them.
Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi Omer Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakos.